Welcome to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. If you want to listen to more of America This Week, subscribe to Sirius XM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. Now back to America This Week, live with Father Matt Malone and Carrie Weber.
We are back, and you are listening to America This Week on the Catholic Channel. I am Carrie Weber. I'm here with America's executive editor, Tim Reedy. We are he's sitting in for Matt Malone this week, who's off in Florida, I believe, soaking up some sun while we're freezing here in New York. And we're talking with Monsignor Paul Garrity about marriage and annulments. And we're inviting you to join the conversation as well at 1-888-3-CATHOLIC. That's 1-888-322-8465. And we're looking for your experience of going through an annulment, but we're also looking maybe for some advice for couples who are about to be married or couples who have been married a long time. How do you keep the marriages strong? How do you keep relationships strong? And we also want to remind you that our guest today is not offering legal advice, that you should go and seek a canon lawyer somewhere or some help elsewhere. But we're talking in a spiritual sense today. And we have a caller now, Leroy from Arkansas here. Leroy, thank you for calling in.
Thank you for accepting my call. I was listening to Monsignor talk about there may be a need for change in how the church processes the annulment. My wife and I decided in 2010 that we wanted to come into communion with the church. Neither of us had had any Catholic background. So while we were going through the RCIA process, we had to go through an annulment process because both of us had been married previous to our marriage together. And I've got to tell you, the form that I received from the diocese, if one really searched through their heart and answered the questions thoroughly and prayed about it, it took me about a week to actually answer all the questions thoroughly and erase and write again and a lot of soul searching. And it took a good period of time, about a year and a half, for the annulment to be approved through the diocese. And I don't know that expediting the process is necessarily a good thing, because that time for both my wife and I really helped us to reflect on our brokenness and our failures, what had happened previous, what we had contributed to the failure of our previous marriages. Personally, it helped me transform my heart from being very angry with my ex-wife and very deep ill will to where, to this day, I hope the best for her. I'm glad that she has a good life and has moved forward and that it's in her past. So it was a very healing process.
That's wonderful to hear, Leroy. And I think that makes a lot of sense, that taking that time could be really helpful and really reflective. Monsignor Garrity, I wonder if you can speak to whether you've spoken to couples who have had a similar experience of healing through that annulment process, and that the time has actually sort of lent itself to that healing process.
Sure. You know, I think, Leroy, that I'm very happy to hear that you did have a very good experience with that. And I would just piggyback on what you had said earlier, Carrie. I'm really a pastor. I'm not a canon lawyer, and I'm not an expert on this. And I guess what I've written for America is really out of my own experience. And I do believe that what you say, Leroy, is absolutely true, that the whole annulment process can be a very, very healing experience. It allows people to kind of look at their first marriage, to develop some insight about that, to grow through that insight, and perhaps have a sense of closure in regard to a relationship that sort of ended in failure. And so I do believe that it absolutely can have that impact. However, my experience is that of all the annulments that I had begun with so many couples, you know, very few of them actually pursue the whole process through that, because it can be a very, very difficult and a very, very painful process, and a very, very lengthy process as well, too. So I think what you say is absolutely true. It can be a very healing and a very, very a helpful process, but there are so many, many more other people who are not helped by that process. And that's the reason why I think the church needs to take a closer look at the whole process and the way in which we, at the end of the day, deal with people who are divorced and remarried and their ability to come and to celebrate with us at the Eucharistic table.
Well, we have a few more callers on the line, so we're going to get right to them. Heidi is calling from Virginia Beach for Monsignor Paul Garrity. Heidi, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead. Monsignor Garrity is here.
Okay, great. Thank you. My first marriage ended after 20 years in a divorce. I have remarried. My current husband is not Catholic. And it's very difficult to explain and for me to understand the reason behind the need for the annulment with it existing primarily only in our Catholic faith. If we know in our hearts that the marriage was broken, that it was not a true and committed union from the beginning, why do we have to go through the annulment process and have that piece of paper, so to speak, that releases us of that guilt of a divorce?
Thank you, Heidi. Monsignor Paul.
Sure. Well, the Church recognizes that that first marriage is the valid marriage that you entered into. And so in order for, and the Church has never agreed with divorce, and so the annulment process is an attempt to go back and to effectively restore your right to marry, you know, by virtue of having removed that cloud, if you will, over that first attempt at marriage. And so the annulment process is basically putting you back to square one, returning to you your right to marry, which you surrendered when you got married and therefore precluded your being married a second time. So I think exactly the kind of mentality that you represent there, Heidi, is exactly why I think the annulment process needs to be looked at, because, you know, after 20 years in a marriage, you know, if there was something radically missing at the very, very beginning, then it's difficult to come back and to reclaim that after 20 years and to have some witnesses available to you who can help understand that whole process and to provide testimony in the annulment process. So I think the question that you raise is very, very valid, but that's the reason why we would have to have an annulment at this point, because you had the right to marry, and once you exercise that right, you didn't have a right to remarry a second time unless the annulment process would declare that first marriage invalid. That's the way the Catholic Church looks at marriage.
Right. So we've got another caller on the line. Elena from Williamsburg, is that right?
Yes, it's Elena.
Elena, very good. Welcome to the show. Do you have a question for Monsignor Paul?
I do. My question's similar to the previous question. I've been married. I was married in my 20s for 3 years, and I got divorced, and it was a bad marriage, but that doesn't matter. My question is, you know, I've been reading the Bible a lot, and I'm Catholic. I grew up Catholic. My present husband is Catholic. I've actually sought out an annulment. But my concern is, in Matthew, it says, anyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery against her. And I don't understand. I'm struggling with that, and I feel like if I get an annulment, that's going to be okay, and I get remarried. But why, you know, where in the Bible, I understand it's a Catholic thing about annulments, and I understand, you know, I've talked to my Monsignor in my church, but I don't understand, like, where in the Bible does it say it's okay? Because it doesn't say it's okay in Matthew. It says you can't. It's unless it's infidelity. So I don't understand that, and I guess maybe you can explain that a little better.
Well, thanks, Elena. Monsignor Paul, this is an excellent question. I think speaks to the tradition in the church, which has developed over the centuries, but maybe you can speak more to that.
Well, Elena, you know, I think that the question you raise is a valid one. There are a couple of places in Scripture where, you know, marriage is referenced and becomes the foundation, if you will, for the church's understanding about the indissolubility of marriage, as we call it. I think that other Christian traditions have looked at the same scriptures and come to a different point. In terms of the development of our theology of marriage, you know, for the first 1,000 years in the life of the church, it was not something that the church participated in the way in which we do today. And it wasn't until the Council of Verona back in the 12th century that marriage takes on the kind of place in the life of the church that it does today, the indissolubility of marriage, and that ultimately leads to the whole annulment process. So right now I think that we're looking at marriage as something that developed over the course of time, and and only 1,000 years into the history of the church did it really take on the current form right now. I think that other Christian denominations look at the same scriptures and come away with a different interpretation in regard to divorce and remarriage.
Thank you so much, Monsignor Paul. We have a few more callers here. First, we want to share a little bit about the experience we had on Twitter this morning of asking some of our readers and followers about what advice they would have for married couples. So some people tweeted in and said that couples actually considering to be married. So tweeted in and said they should talk about, you know, what fidelity means to them. Children, credit reports are a good start, one person said. Make sure you're on the same page when it comes to finances. Monsignor Paul, what role do you think that having these discussions ahead of time and making sure you have these kind of really important conversations about key values has in establishing a solid foundation for a marriage?
You know, I think they're absolutely essential, and sometimes the marriage preparation programs that we have in the life of the church are kind of like priming the pump. You know, when two people come to be married, you know, I always tell them that they're not going to learn anything new in a marriage preparation program that they don't already know. But there could be a depth of conversation that the program could help them to have that might be otherwise difficult. I think that one of the most effective tools for getting to that level of conversation is role play and giving a couple a fictitious situation to kind of play out. Provides an opportunity for people to have some very, very deep discussions about things like, you know, the place of finance or the place of children, the kinds of major decisions that people face in married life. So I think that preparation is absolutely important. You know, communication is, everybody talks about the importance of communication, but communication is not just simply being able to talk about everything, but it's able to be able to listen and to listen kind of with your heart at a much deeper level. So
yeah, that's something that we experienced very much on the Encounter retreat that I went on this week, and really having some of those deep conversations, really, and having the church sort of prompt us to talk about those things. And it felt like the church really actually cared about our relationship and our marriage, which is a really nice thing to feel.
Yeah. And I think the engaged encounters are probably some of the most effective marriage preparation programs. The old cliche that a wedding is for a day and a marriage is for a lifetime is absolutely true. And so to commit a weekend of your life to marriage preparation, you know, I think sometimes seems like an awful lot of time for a couple who are getting married, but it's absolutely important for them to prepare their relationship as well as to prepare for the day.
Well, we've got a few more calls. I'm not sure if we can get to all of them today, but we want to bring on Kathy from Houston, Texas, who, Kathy, I understand you've had an annulment. Can you explain that process to us?
Yes, I am not Catholic, but my ex-husband was. I listen to Catholic Channel all the time. And we were married at a young age. The marriage lasted about 12 years. And, things just didn't work out. But 2 years after our divorce, I received a phone call, and he asked for our marriage license so that he could get an annulment. And I was quite shocked. And I said I didn't have it, and he went through and had the annulment and remarried. And it felt like he just was throwing the marriage out with the annulment, you know. And we have children, so does that mean our children are born out of wedlock if the annulment goes through? And so I really had a hard time accepting the whole annulment process. And those were some, that was one question I asked. So does this mean our children are born out of wedlock? I mean, what do I tell my children now that our marriage never existed? What do I say? And I didn't really know how to give those answers.
Well, thanks, Kathy. Yeah, a very difficult issue, but one that, Monsignor Garrity, you mentioned in your article. Maybe you can respond.
Well, Kathy, you know, I think that you raise an excellent point, and I think the way in which I would describe that to couples is that, and for them to speak to their children, that you were always married. Your children were not born out of wedlock. Your children were born in a marriage. In the Catholic Church, I would kind of make a distinction between the sacrament of matrimony and the institution of marriage. And marriage, in terms of legitimacy or things like that, becomes kind of a civil kind of legal thing. And so your children are not born out of wedlock. You were married at the time that they were born. The sacrament of matrimony as a Catholic thing is something else. I think you raised the issue, obviously, about contacting the spouse in a prior marriage, and sometimes that becomes an obstacle for people to pursue an annulment because the idea of that becomes kind of a bridge too far for so many people.
Well, Monsignor Garrity, we're going to try to get another caller in here, but before we do, I just want to see, is there any resources you can point to, people who are interested in learning more, where they can go?
You know, I think if a person really is looking at an annulment and wants to understand it from a personal point of view, the very, very best thing to do would be to make an appointment to speak to their own pastor. And I think if that pastor is not helpful or not knowledgeable, then to go to someone else, some other pastor, you know, some other priest, that could be helpful. I think that the annulment process, you can read about it, and there's all kinds of resources available on the web. But I think if you really want to understand how it applies to your particular situation and what your particular question may be, then I think the best thing to do is to speak to someone who's knowledgeable about that and speaking with your parish priest.
Yeah, I think these calls really reflect the amount of that people have sort of invested in this process and the difficulties that it can offer, but the healing that it can as well. And we have one more caller, Denise from Louisiana. Are you there?
Hello?
Hello, Denise.
Yes. I'll make a statement first that I'm Catholic. My husband is non-Catholic. He was married twice. My husband is deceased. I'm Catholic. We were awarded an annulment, but we were not told from a representative of the Catholic Church that he has to have an annulment for each marriage. Is that correct?
Monsignor Garrity, you're the expert.
No. If the first marriage took place and he attempted marriage for a second time, then that marriage would be invalid on its face because the first marriage would be considered to be the only valid marriage. There are two kinds of annulments in the Catholic Church. One is called a canonical trial, and the other is called a defective form. And there's where a good example of the previous caller, it's important to go talk to someone knowledgeable who could explain the differences between the two. In both cases, there would be an annulment required. In the first case, it would be a canonical trial. In the second case, it would be a documentary case or a defective form case because the first marriage would still be considered the valid marriage, and the second marriage would be considered invalid because the person did not have the right to marry a second time since the first marriage was valid.
Well, Monsignor Paul Garrity, as Carrie was saying, I think the number of calls we got today indicates what an important issue this is for so many people, and one that, if you want to learn more, as Monsignor Garrity said, go to your parish priest to talk more about it. We want to thank you, Monsignor Garrity, and we look forward to your article in America and the conversation continuing.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on SiriusXM 129. If you want to hear the full show every week, subscribe to SiriusXM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, SiriusXM 129.